Well, good morning. Let's get out our Bibles this morning and turn to Isaiah 55 and then put a finger in there. And then turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and put a finger in there. And in Exodus chapter 20 and put a finger in there. You got enough fingers to do that. Or if you don't, you have my markers, so you can use those. Last time together, we began a parenting series, and of course, properly entitled Parenting, A Place to Begin. This week, we're going to look at Parenting Part 2, Some Principles to Remember. So, Parenting, Some Principles to Remember. I want to start out this morning by saying God's ways are not man's ways. Did you know that? You guys know that? Now this study that I'm going to share with you this morning, really much of it came as I listened to a message by James McDonald. And you ever listen to a message, you go, man, I wish I could get him to preach this at my church. And so I couldn't, so here I am. I mean, I was so touched and stirred and challenged by this message. And I just was so, man, James, that's right on that I said, well, you know what? He can't be here, so I'm going to take the message that God gave to him, and it's so stirred within me, and I'm going to share it with the folks. So I'm going to try and do my best, okay? Under the power of the Holy Spirit to share with you the truth that God shared with me there. And God's ways are not man's ways. They're completely different, and that's what Isaiah tells us. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. In verse 8 of Isaiah 55 says the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What that means is God has a way of doing things and man has a way of doing things. Now the word ways there is a Hebrew word that means the course of life or the mode of action or an established pattern over time. You've heard it said from time to time, well, somebody, this person is set in their ways. Usually they're an older person, set in their ways. You know, oh, they're set in their ways. What that means is when we say that is they do the same thing. They don't change, man. They just have this established pattern that they've been doing for a long time, and they're kind of stuck there. Okay, with that in mind, listen, God is set in his ways. You see, he can be, of course, and that's no problem. Why? Because, well, everything he does is perfect, right? So if you do everything perfect, then you don't have to worry about being set in your ways because every time you do something, it's always right. And God doesn't spend a lot of time evaluating what he's done or anything. God simply has ways of doing things, and he's very consistent to do things the same way. And guess what? He's not asking for our opinions. He never comes up for a review. He just does things his way because he's God. He has patterns of behavior that have been established and entrenched over time. How much time? A lot of time. Try from before you and I were created here on planet Earth and placed here. He's very experienced. And he has a certain way of doing things. In fact, he said in his ways, Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I don't change. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I'm the Lord, I don't change. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts in Isaiah. My ways aren't your ways. God is saying, hey, listen, you got your way. I got my way. My way is totally different than your way when it comes to doing stuff. In fact, God says, I have an entirely different way of thinking. I wouldn't run the world the way you would run the world. If I ran the world, guess what? Be no pain. Be no problems. Be no traffic. I don't know how I'd accomplish that, but there'd be no traffic. You see, God doesn't run it that way. God takes the pain that's in the world, and you know, of course, with all that, you wouldn't recognize your need for God either, and I'd be the one that, you know, you'd go, hey, well, he's the guy. But you see, God's different. He takes the pain that we experience in life, the problems that come our way, the natural disasters that we are faced with, and he uses them to help us recognize, hey, I'm here. I'm here, man. You can depend on me. God does things differently. Getting to heaven. And when you take getting to heaven, if I was in charge of getting to heaven, I'd say, hey, listen, man, if you want to get into heaven, you're going to have to really work hard, man. You're going to have to do a lot of stuff. You're going to have to get it together because I don't want any flakes in heaven, okay? So you know what? If you're kind of a flaky kind of a person and kind of a failure, you know what, man? I want heaven full of people that are fine. So you got to do a lot of works and get busy and I'd make it hard. But the Lord says, hey, he sent his son. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Guess what? There's a way. There's a way. God has made a way. It's not up to the stuff that you do. It's all about what he's done.
Amen.
You see, that's the way you get to heaven. God's ways are different than our ways. You see, in Isaiah again, he says, so my ways are higher than yours and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Hey, not only are his ways different, guess what? His thoughts, his thinking, the way he deals with things, higher than yours. You have a way of thinking. God has a way of thinking. And guess what God's saying here? Pretty clear, Isaiah 55. His way of thinking is so far above your way of thinking, so radically far that you're lame when it comes to your thinking. You can't even begin to think in the way of God. Our ways stink compared to God's ways. We can't even begin to touch his ways of thinking. Okay, so we've established that. Isaiah 55. God's ways, not our ways. God's ways, way better than our ways. Okay, we've got that part done. So now that we've established that God's ways are different and way better, let's move on. What that means is when it comes to raising children, guess whose ways are better? God's. But, hey, man has ways, okay? Man has ways of raising children. And if you go to the bookstores, if you look around as you listen to people and their input about children, you're going to find out that man's got ways. There is no lack of ways and ideas as to how to raise children. In the early 1900s, a guy by the name of John B. Watson, one of the leading psychologists at the time, in 1928, he was writing, and his advice was to treat children with respect, but treat them with relative emotional detachment, because, you see, if you coddle them and cuddle them and set them in your lap and care for them in that way, they're going to develop an attachment and a dependence on you that won't be healthy. So make sure you deal with their behavior and make them do the right thing, you see, and don't get too cuddly with them. Well, that led kind of to an outward conformity. The child obeyed, but there was an inward hostility. Listen, if you grow up in a home where the mom and dad are like generals without any kind of relational connection, it produces inward hostility. That wasn't working too well. So along about the 1950s or 60s, the school of child rearing was rejected, and man adopted a new philosophy, a new way. The man that came along that popularized this way, his name was Benjamin. Yep. Star Trek guy. No. Not really. Benjamin Spock. His idea, his philosophy spread like wildfire. What did he say? Well, hey, you need to, number one thing you need to do is love your child and make sure you don't make things hard for him and don't allow them to become frustrated and let them explore and be free. Let's all be free. Of course, that was popular in the 60s because it was free love, flower, children, man, hippies. Don't make them do things they don't want to. Well, this was disastrous. It produced a generation of self-centered, domineering, demanding people who are here worshiping with us this morning. Welcome. Of which I'm one, okay? I'm one of them. Well, it wasn't long before that went kind of by the wayside. And in the 70s and the 80s, a guy named who was around in the 50s, but wasn't really popularized till later, Eric Byrne, who began to develop his theories of transactional analysis. Basically, his starting point was that when two people encounter each other, one of them will speak to the other. This is this he called a transaction stimulus. The reaction from the other person he called transaction response. The person sending the stimulus is called the agent. The person who responds is called the respondent. Transactional analysis became the method of examining the transaction wherein I do something to you and you do something back. Byrne also said that each person is made up of three alter ego states, parent, adult, and child. That's where we got the inner child thing, you know. And he goes through all this stuff. Suffice it to say,